Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Haley B. Miller, and this is Ohio Politics Explained, a podcast where you give us 15 minutes and we give you all the news you need to sound smart and impress your friends. Welcome to Ohio Politics Explained, the Indictment Kid edition. This week, we're discussing new charges against Larry Householder, shoot houses for armed school employees, double dipping in the state's Medicaid program, and a lawsuit over Ohio's ban on gender-affirming care for transgender minors. Joining me today is Anthony Shoemaker.
Hey, Haley, how's it going?
Living the dream.
A little break from election news this week.
A little bit, finally.
It'll come back.
Before we start, if you listen to OPE for your weekly politics fix, consider leaving us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps us out, and as always, I really appreciate it. Our first topic today is the comeback kid and why he may not be coming back this time. Former Speaker Larry Householder was indicted again this week as part of the state's House Bill 6 investigation. These charges are on top of his federal racketeering conviction, which landed him 20 years in prison. The biggest charge is theft in office. If convicted, he'd be permanently barred from holding public office or working for the public, which somehow is not already the case. Do you feel like that's the biggest impact these charges will have?
Well, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, yeah, I mean, I don't think he could have come back anyway, but I guess you never know in politics. But, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, who kind of casually following this may have thought, wow, this hasn't happened already. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the feds went first, but Attorney General Yost now has added the state charges. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. I mean, he's already been sentenced to 20 years on the federal charges, but he is appealing that.
What's the angle for Yost, for the state on this? I mean, he is already facing a federal conviction, serving prison time for it. Is this just to send a message about committing, you know, these kinds of crimes, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a message just in there. I mean, Yost talked about, what was it? He said something like the comeback kid isn't coming back again or something like that. But he also, he didn't rule out if anyone else being charged. So it could also be a message not only to Householder, but to anyone else that he might consider bringing up on state charges. I mean, of course, the attorney general is talked about as running for governor in 2026. So it also, you know, is a pretty big kind of news cycle kind of story.
Is anyone else facing state charges?
The former CEO of First Energy, Chuck Jones, and Michael Dowling. You know, we don't know who else could face charges in this. It's interesting that Sam Randazzo also is involved in this and what's going to happen next with him and his cases.
Yeah, there's so much going on with the fallout of House Bill 6, federal cases, state cases, civil lawsuits. I think it's sort of like a spider web of, you know, just impact that these instances of corruption have had.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I think is interesting on these new charges is that they accuse Householder of stealing $1.2 million from his campaign account to pay for the federal case, even though that his campaign was warned not to do that, according to the Ohio Elections Commission complaint.
Yeah, the Secretary of State's office reached out and, you know, basically said it wouldn't be in, you know, the best idea in the world, and they did it anyway. So as our listeners probably know, Householder is appealing his federal conviction still. So that's also going to be playing out while the state case continues to unfold.
True crime lovers are always looking for new and engaging content.
The Already Gone podcast covers stories from Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Cases you haven't heard before, like the Mayo Hunters or the murder of 16-year-old Justin Mello, plus better-known cases like the death of Jane Bishara and Illinois' own Lori Dan. Already Gone started in 2016, so there is a big back catalog for you to enjoy. Find Already Gone on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or your favorite podcatcher.
Now, let's talk about these shoot houses. The state will buy two of them to help train armed school employees how to respond to an active shooter. They'll cost the Department of Safety like $78,000. The request comes after Ohio lawmakers made it easier for school employees to be armed. 67 school districts and 36 counties arm employees within their buildings, but the details beyond that aren't public. So I had to Google shoot houses because I could not picture what they look like, but it seems like they're basically these mobile buildings with customizable layouts.
Yeah. So they're kind of like places for teachers and school officials to be trained on what to do in an active shooter situation. They can be assembled indoors or outdoors, and they can be made to look like different parts of a school. They can resemble houses or offices or other buildings. And a lot of these are going to be used in those 67 districts because these districts tend to be rural where, it's going to take longer for police and first responders to get to the scene of an active shooting situation.
Do we know what this training entails? I mean, I'm guessing it's mandatory for the teachers, for the employees who want to carry a concealed weapon.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is that it's kind of, you think about kind of like when you watch like an FBI movie or something where they're like training cadets, it's almost kind of like basically, you hate to imagine this, but training for school officials, about what to do if there's a shooter in the building. So these shoot houses will kind of resemble kind of the structure of the building and kind of be used as a training site.
Interesting. All right. Our third topic today is potential problems with Ohio Medicaid enrollment. A report from Auditor Keith Faber found more than 124,000 people were enrolled in Ohio's Medicaid program and a Medicaid program in at least one other state. The report said Ohio spent over $1 billion in payments for people who were double dipping. There's a big but here. Ohio Medicaid officials said they can't confirm Faber's findings and have some questions about the methodology, but it still raised some eyebrows. I mean, $1 billion certainly wouldn't be nothing.
Yeah, I mean, $1 billion, it is a lot of money. But, I think it's also, you want to keep this in perspective. They're talking about 124,000 people simultaneously being enrolled. They say 2,300 of those were enrolled over all 4 years that they looked at. But you have to also remember that 3.5 million people in Ohio are on Medicaid. That's roughly 30% of the population. So really, 124,000 people out of 3.5 million isn't very many people. But the deputy director of the Ohio Department of Medicaid is calling into question some of the methodology used in this study,
which I find really interesting. Part of me is are they just doing that to save face? On the other hand, are there credibility concerns with Faber's report? And, if so, what does that look like? It's just, I don't know. It's a weird situation.
I think that something that's kind of sticking out is that, you're saying that Ohio spent $1 billion in payments for people enrolled in other states. But then it says the auditors looked at a random sample of 125 people enrolled in multiple state Medicaid programs. The deputy director of the Department of Medicaid says that there's already some, protocols in place for identifying people who are in multiple states benefiting from Medicaid in more than one state.
Our final topic today is a lawsuit over legislation that restricts healthcare for transgender minors. House Bill 68 will take effect next month after Republicans voted to override Governor Mike DeWine's veto. As a reminder, the bill prevents doctors from prescribing hormones, puberty blockers, or gender reassignment surgery before patients turn 18. The ACLU wants to block the law from taking effect. They say it's unconstitutional to keep transgender kids from receiving gender-affirming care. Anthony, put your nerd hat on for a minute. What's kind of the legal basis for their argument?
Well, they're basically kind of saying that, people have rights to this kind of care, and that these rules are basically interfering with their relationship with their doctors and what they can do. It prevents doctors from prescribing hormones, puberty blockers, genital reassignment surgery. And one of the things that they're trying to do is, get a judge to block the law before it takes effect. I think, was it late April?
Yeah, April 24th. And as you all probably know, this bill also prohibits transgender girls from playing on female sports teams in high school and college. The lawsuit does not directly challenge that part of the law, but it gets into one of my favorite wonky topics, which is the single subject rule. Under the Ohio Constitution, legislation is supposed to deal with one topic. You can't mesh a bunch of things together into one bill, although they tend to do that.
I do that a lot.
And that is what happened with House Bill 68, the athlete provision and the ban on gender affirming care for kids. These were initially two separate bills that were introduced in the House, and Republicans eventually combined them into one. The ACLU says, hey, you can't do that.
Right. I think the thing when it comes to the trans athlete bill, you know, is it such a strong talking point right now? You heard it used multiple times throughout the, you know, the recent election. This candidate wants boys to play in girls' sports, you know, and they kind of use that as an attack line. It's a very, very small population impacted in Ohio. But if you looked at the way some lawmakers and candidates talk about that issue, they make it sound much bigger. So I think that's why they wanted to have that included in this.
So as we said, this law is supposed to take effect in late April. The ACLU either wants it blocked right away or at least temporarily blocked while the litigation plays out. There was a lawsuit in Arkansas that made similar arguments over legislation like this, and a judge ultimately struck it down. So I guess we'll see what happens here. And one more really terrible thing before you go. Former state lawmaker and Hamilton County Auditor Bridget Kelly passed away this week after battling cancer. She was 40. Friends and former colleagues and reporters on our team remember her as a hardworking, kind person who really stuck to her guns and didn't let politics poison her spirit. I have not seen a bad word said about her, and I think we can all agree that she left this world too soon.
Yeah, 40 years old is so young. And the governor has ordered flags to be flown at half staff in Hamilton County and on at the State House on the day of her funeral.
Ohio Politics Explained is brought to you by the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau. You can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Ohio Explained.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.